from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We got Bruce Bochy coming up at 12:20 on your home of the defending world champion Texas Rangers, but it's time for the combo platter. Now, yesterday was I forgot day, but I forgot to do this yesterday. So we're going to do it today. Give us a sports opinion. And then what is the most important thing that you've ever forgotten from the, oh no, this is going to be problematic. From the 469, I still think the Rangers will make the playoffs. Also, I forgot to pick my wife up at the airport at 11:30 p.m. Fell asleep after a long day at work. Woke up in a panic and ended up getting there an hour late. Now, I will say, at least that's better maybe in today's world than if you did that in 1990. And you're just like, I can't text you. I can't just hit up your cell phone or whatever. That feels like a really problematic situation. But I hope everything is okay for you.
There's so many things that I've forgotten. I forget about all the things I've forgotten.
But I
will name you one, which I felt like a pretty big Nimrod.
You're going to give me a sports opinion first.
Yeah.
Why is that the biggest struggle with this segment every time?
Because we have so many sports opinions that we give during the course.
I have 3 sports opinions, but I feel like I wanted to save them for Mike Likes It.
Okay.
You want me to loan you a sports opinion?
Oh, yeah. Do you want one from Reggie?
Yeah. You know what, Reggie? I'll loan.
Is that how this works?
Yeah. I don't know.
It works today, man. It's July 3rd.
Let's press the issue.
What does that mean?
The day before Columbus came over to America.
In 1942. That's
no!
Right.
No! All of that is wrong.
1776, I think that's when Columbus.
At least you know relevant dates. It's not for that.
Because of the 76ers. But and we cut a snake in a couple of chopped pieces, and then they made it their logo.
And we said, don't step on it.
Don't tread on me, yes.
Yeah. I'm supposed to be loaning you an opinion.
Yeah, great job.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this with the news that Wick Grusbeck, the owner of the Celtics, is selling.
Yeah.
The primary, I guess, owner, I should say. When you also pair that with Mark Cuban selling a large stake, his primary stake in the Mavericks, are we moving to a whole nother level of ownership in at least basketball, but maybe in sports, where we look at, you know, just like, oh, if you are a billionaire, you can be a team owner in sports, where it feels like even like, I guess, the lower tier of billionaires are now being priced out. And now we're moving to the super 1% or whatever you would like to call it, where that's necessary in order to own a team.
I think you're so spot on. Sorry, I cannot remember the team name. It's something like Angel FC or something.
Angel
like
City?
Angel City FC. Sold for $250 million. And Darren Rovell, who we've had on the show, and I know sometimes people don't love him, he brought up something just like that, is kind of when you talk about, especially how much like liquidity you have. It used to be you could just buy in because everybody wants a sports team. But now you're having to go to these like lower tier sports levels to even buy in because of exactly what you're talking about. That's a very good sports opinion.
I like your sports opinion. I'm going to add to a sports opinion, which
yes.
I didn't know until
what?
I was listening to
Why
somebody
talk about
this.
Why are you mad? You get more
this.
Sports opinions.
Fair.
The Boston Celtics do not own the arena. That is owned by the Bruins.
Correct.
So when they're selling, if you're buying the Celtics, you don't get, when I'm just naming people, they're probably even too big for that place, but like Beyonce or Taylor Swift or whatever, when they're doing concerts or all the extra stuff in the arena, they get no benefit as the owner of the Celtics. That all goes to the Bruins owners.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that they might not sell for as much as you think. I'm not saying they're going to sell for like $2 billion. But if you think that, hey, the Mavericks almost sold for $4 billion and Phoenix sold for $4 billion, they're going to be $5.5 or $6 billion because I think they said, it was a guy talking about this. Steinbrenner bought the Yankees in the 70s and they're never going to go up for sale again, it looks like.
Sure.
Jerry bought the Cowboys in 89 and they're never going to go up for sale again.
I'm inclined to agree.
Jerry Buss bought the Lakers in the late 70s and or, you know, right around that 78 to 1980 when it went through.
They might have to.
And maybe they will, but like these legacy organizations, they never go up for sale again because, you know, Jerry, from what I understand, he wasn't like super rich when he bought the Cowboys. He put a lot,
like everything
of his money
into
like, this is it. If this fails, that's why I think his dad was worried about him. Like, dude, you know, if this fails and you become whoever owned the team before, I'm sorry, I'm forgetting his name, who he bought it from. Like, if you don't improve from what they are somewhat losing money off of right now, you won't have all of the money you made. Yeah. You're going to lose a lot of it. So, I mean, he's obviously a genius when it comes to owning a football team. So I was surprised to hear that the Celtics have no ownership stake in the building they work in. Now, here's one thing that I'm embarrassed I forgot about is when I was getting married, I had to get the hotel room before we went on our honeymoon.
Okay.
I forgot where I got the hotel room. So the night before the wedding, my mother-in-law and my father were like, we were all calling hotels and trying to figure out where I reserved the hotel before we left the next morning to go on our cruise. So, yeah. So one of the things I forgot.
You figured it out?
We did figure it out. We finally found
it. Who got it?
I can't. It wasn't me. It was either my father or my mother-in-law. I can't remember because they were calling up hotels that possibly I would. And I was like, it wasn't a 5-star hotel. It wasn't like super. Yeah. It's a Holiday Inn near the airport.
Sure.
But I could not remember where in the world I reserved the hotel the night before.
And you got married in
2000?
Okay. So like, maybe if we were just a little bit further ahead, you'd been like, I got the email somewhere.
I did not.
Okay. Man, that is a really, really good one. From the 682. For National I Forgot Day, which was actually yesterday, Wyatt Langford hits for another cycle this season. He hustles and runs so hard and fast. Plus, one time I forgot a court date for a misdemeanor.
Oh, no.
Eventually cost me some overnights in the Hoosgow.
Sure.
Which is, in case you're not familiar, a jail or a prison. From the 817, I think the Mavs make the finals next year and are most likely to win. And I forgot I had a job on Monday. Were you starting a new job? Did you just forget about your longstanding job? And you're like, I thought it was Sunday. I would like more information about that.
Somewhat along those lines, Peyton Russell is going to be off next week. And I was talking to him before he left. And I was like, man, you know when you have those really long vacation stints and you come back, do you ever feel like you just don't know how to do your job anymore?
Or that I'm so, with this job, I feel, and then when I worked at the newspaper too, I feel so far out of the loop, you know, like especially Mike's talked about going on a cruise for his honeymoon, especially if you go on a cruise where maybe like internet, not the most reliable in the world, you feel so out of the loop and you're like, hey, do you think we should talk about this? And sometimes you're like, wait, what happened now? And you almost need like a whole day to re-prepare yourself for what you're doing for your job.
Here's not my sports opinion, but...
Ooh, can it be my sports opinion? Do we just give each other sports
opinion?
Yeah,
you want me to loan you this? Because I think you're going to enjoy this conversation.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to loan this to Reggie.
Why do you hate sharing, Kevin?
I'm just confused.
Reggie, I was struggling to go to sleep last night, so I'm looking through a lot of my cards that I want to take to the Dallas Card Show to possibly sell or trade.
We'll be at the Dallas Card Show on Friday.
True.
And so... I was watching a podcast, which I'm assuming they do. It was with Kendrick Perkins, Richard Jefferson, and I think Channing Frye. And then it was hosted by, it was hosted by a lady. I'm forgetting her name.
Okay.
But it was not ESPN. It was like their own podcast. And they all three agreed, the former players, if I was hearing them right, they all agreed that Anthony Edwards, after Jokic, is the best player in the Western Conference. And I thought...
I don't get
that.
Wait
a second. Like, I get what Luka did in the NBA Finals did not impress a lot of former players, and his whining and moaning and sure. You never know if he's really hurt or not. But I was like, man, like he has really ticked off the former player. Like Luka gets very little respect from the former player. And then I thought, right now we just talked about the other day, Reggie. We had Shea. It was Luka, Shea, Anthony Edwards. I don't think there's big gaps between those three.
With Jokic being first.
With Jokic, because he's kind of not in that category of guard.
Yeah.
So Reggie, that was the opinion of those three guys, that Anthony Edwards is kind of by far the best like guard player in the Western Conference.
Yeah, and sometimes I wonder if this is like style of play, because you remember James Harden got a lot of this same thing, and I think that the basis of their games are similar, even though clearly Luka Doncic has reached a higher height in that regard. Like, I do wonder if that is some of the like, you know, ire that he's received. But then I also wonder how much of this is wittingly or unwittingly folks going, I enjoy this style of play. I enjoy this dude's personality more, and so he is better. Because I realize that I do that quite a bit as well. And I was thinking about that recently because of Wyatt Langford and his speed. I love me a fast baseball player, just a fast player in general in sports, but a fast baseball player, there's no way that's easier into my personal like record book of favorite players than a fast baseball player. So someone like Ellie De La Cruz, who is very good, but I mean, he's not like Aaron Judge is out here with 30-something home runs already. And I'm over here like, I want to watch me some Ellie De La Cruz.
I get that.
Because of like the particular style of play and how it resonates with me. So I wonder how much of it's just like Anthony Edwards plays a certain style that honestly kind of harkens back to some of the ways that they would see guys play in their era. And they go, oh, that's going to be good. And that's why I view him highly.
Does it matter how a guy runs? Wyatt runs with power, with the speed, and L.A. De La Cruz and like Bobby Witt Jr. run with just fluidity. Like they're just running
like a gazelle.
I think there's something like, to that.
Because when Wyatt Langford runs, it just looks like powerful.
Yeah.
But that's how I felt kind of about Eric Dickerson too, right? Because sometimes people thought he was loafing it because he was so...
Or Vince Young would just look like he was walking.
Yeah, because he's so natural of a mover. You're like, no, he's giving it what he's got. He just does it in an effortless manner.
Yeah, which also ties into another sports opinion.
Oh my God.
Track and field. Easily the best competition when it comes to the Olympics. Like watching the U.S.
If you're watching it on Olympic TV, trials, if you have to go to a stadium, you have to watch them set up the hurdles
and then take them down, you're like, can we get more? I was like, I'll leave the stands for this high school. I will go down there and help you guys with these hurdles to move this along.
Because I'm with you, Reggie. I'll take track and field week over swimming week for sure. But that's if I'm watching it on TV.
Fair enough.
If I'm in the place, put me by the pool.
That's fair enough. But I think I enjoy watching people run. I feel like more often than not,
Quincy Wilson,
buddy, he's fun. And I'm so super excited that he gets to go and he's in the 4x400 pool. He runs grown man times. It's not the most important thing that I forgot, but it's one of those ones where I was like, why did I do that? I reconnected with a friend from high school up here. And so I was like, oh, man. And I was talking to her and I was like, yo, this is awesome. Like, let's hang out. And so we like set a time and everything. And literally 2 days later, after the event was supposed to happen, I was like, oh, snap. I completely forgot that. You'll be surprised to hear. She has not responded back to me after that time.
Yeah, I'm definitely not surprised to hear that whatsoever. Because, man, damn, 2 days?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
like not even like, yo, my bad on the day or what have you. Like 2 days later, she was just like, yo, what the hell happened?
That is bad. Now,
I've gotten more in touch with my calendar since then.
Okay, that's good. That is very good. From the 817, Klay Thompson makes a comeback this year and averages 22-4-4. Holy cow, I think we would all love that. And I forgot where we parked at the Mavs game. Took us a while to figure it out while it was on our anniversary. I hope.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I have forgotten that a few times, and you hit the alarm button to help you out.
Yes. I'm definitely with you on that. Now, I know I throw it to you guys, and sometimes I don't always give my opinion here, but I did want to throw this out there. First of all, sports opinion. There is no end in sight to the power that an athlete can get from nobody believed in me.
Yeah, buddy.
Because Angel Reese.
I saw this.
Okay.
I was like, who? Who are you talking about?
Angel Reese is an awesome player. She was awesome in college. She was very lauded in college. She was a high, high WNBA draft pick. She definitely has the most, the second most like hype behind her going into the season in terms of rookies behind Caitlin Clark. And she made the All-Star game and she said, it's just so great, especially given I know so many people don't believe in me. And I'm like, I appreciate what you're doing, but there's a lot of people that do definitely believe in you, but there's no end to the power that people don't believe in me can bring a person. I said an athlete. I should probably just say a human.
I feel like it's a lot of athletes, though, because, yeah. And I say this as respectfully as possible, recognizing that they're just built different. I feel like you kind of have to have a little bit of that psycho in you in order to do that at a high level.
You might be onto something. Look, we talk about that with ego all the time. I know usually people quantify ego as, like, not necessarily a good thing, but, like, you have to have a certain level of ego to get to the highest, highest level of any field. And then the most important thing I ever forgot was when I was a kid, I forgot my mom's birthday. Her birthday is February 12th. Her sister, my aunt's birthday, is February 14th. I thought it was the other way around. And so on February 14th, me and my sister told my mom happy birthday, at which point she said my birthday was 2 days ago. And you could tell she was really sad.
Oh, no.
Reggie, what do
you... Well, you weren't alive when she was born.
That is true.
That, I guess that is true. Reggie, what do you think I did to rectify this error?
Oh, no.
You gave her a $10 gift certificate from Blockbuster.
This was far before I worked at Blockbuster.
Yeah, but
that does feel like a thing I would do.
I don't know. Because if you were Corey, you'd be like, well, next year, I'll get it.
Made her a cake.
I started planning for the next year.
Ah, there you go.
Keep in mind, I was, I have to ask my mom, 9-ish. So I took her planner. This was at a time when people had the planners with all of their... And I went through every single one of her contacts. I called every single person in there and I set up a surprise party for my mom. Now, at the time...
I feel like at 9, you calling all her friends might have not got so surprising.
Yeah, she probably... They probably would have told her about it.
She almost... So the ruse was my sister took her out to go get us food. She almost dropped the food when she walked in. So she could be a heck of an actress. You might be onto something. And maybe she's like, you were 10 or 11... But what I didn't realize then that I definitely know now, not everybody in your contact list goes together. You know what I'm saying?
So like you mixed circles.
So multiple boyfriends.
I don't know that to be the case.
But it's
I don't know that to not be the case. But she loved
Aaron Rodgers
it.
Aaron Rodgers was there.
What's that?
Aaron Rodgers was there.
No, not Aaron Rodgers. I remember that bit you're referencing. So yeah. It was a lot of fun. She said it was really meaningful, but also it was like a weird, probably, group of people that got together that
just day. Like tax accountants there.
Yeah, there probably was because I didn't know. I have a kid. I don't know who a lot of these people are, so I just called them all up. And I was like, hello, my name is Kevin Hagelin. Susan Hagelin is my mom. That's how I started every one of the conversations. Now, if it was Mike, he'd be like, you know who the hell I am. Coming up next.
I'm Little Mike. I am famous. That's what I have to
yes,
tell people.
Yes, that is fair. Let's talk some more about Nate Eovaldi, but also this was some story that we were looking at about Chipotle. Which restaurant, maybe a chain, gives you the biggest issue with their portion consistency? Let's do that next right here on The Fan.
As he deals the 3-2 pitch to Machado, who swings and misses on the splitter and strikes out to conclude this top half of the seventh.
Wanted to ask a question here. First, we're going to talk about Nate Eovaldi, but then we're going to move into, is there a restaurant, perhaps it's a chain, that gives you the biggest issues when it's their portion consistency? Because I'm very fascinated by this conversation. But we talked a lot about Josh Smith in Baseball Nuggets, and for good reason. Obviously, he has been fantastic for this team this year, but holy cow, Nate Eovaldi went out there and was dealing yesterday. And one of the things I do realize, because you've told us about this many times, is stressful pitches versus non-stressful pitches.
Yes.
And I can imagine when you put up a two spot and then another run and then two more, and by the time you take the bump in the fourth inning, you're up 5-0. that probably gives you a lot of stress-free pitches, which makes life easier. But I don't care who you are. If you go out there, seven innings, one hit, no walks, that's a hell of a game. And you were going up against a damn good pitcher, and we dominated him yesterday.
Yeah, I was shocked. Just looking at what the Rangers struggle with, fastballs at 95+. At times, left-handers. Now, Dylan Cease isn't left-handed, but he is one of the harder-throwing starters in Major League Baseball. And the Rangers were able to handle him, and Lowe was able to get a changeup. To me, personally, I don't know why a right-hander ever throws Lowe a changeup. I don't mind throwing a breaking ball because there's movement, and it can, you know, you can get him with that, but I just think a changeup is not a smart pitch. But I think Dylan Cease is like, all right, he's not getting another changeup. And then he hit a fastball opposite field for a home run.
It was the fastest one he had hit all season. And just 3 days ago was the previous fastest fastball. Not all season, in his career, excuse me, for a home run. So the two pitches with the fastest velocity that he's hit for a home run have come in the last 4 days.
Well, that is awesome. I did not know that. But it's just, if people are like, well, why do you say that about, you know, getting an early lead or having a lead and more than a one-run lead, is I can challenge guys. If I'm up 4-0 in the fourth inning and I have a 3-1 count to Machado, I'm not trying to give up a home run, but now I'm like, I don't need to walk him because this is scary if he hits a solo home run. I'm going to throw a ball on the plate, a good pitch.
Yeah.
And I'm going to see if he gets out, because the likelihood, him putting the ball in play, I don't think his batting average is 300, but let's just say that's a really good batting average. He's going to have a 30% chance of getting a hit here. And I know it goes up a little bit because he's ahead in the count. Maybe it goes up to 400. He has a 40% chance of getting a hit here. That gives me a 60% chance, as long as I don't throw it like right down the middle, center cut. If I make a decent pitch in the zone, I still have a 60% chance of getting him out. But you start looking at the odds when it's 0-0 through four innings, a lot of Ranger games. If I mess up here and it doesn't go to the corner I want to on the plate, and it goes to the middle on the plate, and I give up a home run, I just lost the game. We're down 2-1, or we're down 1-0. We probably are going to lose. And that makes pitching so difficult when you know if you give up a solo home run in the fourth or fifth inning to give up one or two runs for your whole start, that there's a good chance you're going to lose that game. That's very stressful.
Now, we've already gotten a whole lot of feedback for our other question. There was an analyst from Wells Fargo who went out on a trek and ordered the same Chipotle burrito bowl 75 times to determine how much the portions were different. And so when one of the first texts I see was from the 214, Chipotle is by far the worst. You would think that how skimpy some of these people are with the portions that it came out of their paycheck. From the 254, it's obviously Chipotle. And then I didn't think about this at all. A couple people have said, from the 469, Panda Express is definitely on that list now. And then they added...
Are they?
Yeah, they added, it got so bad, I asked for more portion when she gave me one, like a small level of orange chicken. She put one more orange chicken piece in there, and I just walked out and went to McDonald's. So that's what I was curious about. It's not to say that you don't like the place. In fact, you probably do like the place, but their portions are very inconsistent. I've seen a couple of people, McDonald's when it comes to fries, from the 817 Whataburger when it comes to their onion rings.
I found that to be an interesting text, because I feel like that is more about the container than anything else.
Okay.
Where, like, you know, putting fries in that container, it doesn't always hold the same amount in the right way. Like, it's not really best engineered to hold the amount of fries that you're supposed to. And similar for, like, the Whataburger, like that little thing that they have, the onion rings don't always fit in properly, to where sometimes you get a significantly fewer onion rings than you probably should in that situation.
I would not have thought of that as a, like, fast food engineering problem as much as anything else, but
you know me, I'm a dork.
Yo, no, I like that. I think that's great insight. The Chipotle one makes a lot of sense to me, because one of the ones I put on my list was Freebirds. Now,
really?
I don't drink, but I kind of think about that at Freebirds as, like, you hope you get the person who gives you the heavy pour of the steak. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe they give you that just little bit of extra because I feel like from time to time, it's still good, but it can go from like good to, oh, I don't even have to order extra meat or anything. That was just, I got a lot right there. So yeah. I think burrito places make a lot of sense.
And those have to be tough. And I'm assuming a Panda Express has to be tough too, because everything I struggle with, I get fries, but a burger is going to be a burger. There's nothing there. Sure. They're not framing. I don't want to say framing, but
like a ketchup.
They're not grabbing the meat, the raw meat, and making their own patty.
Right.
It's already predetermined.
They're like, I'm going to give you a smaller hamburger. You get a bigger hamburger. Yeah.
I will say I like a Big Mac every once in a while. I get frustrated when I feel like the sauce should be the same every time, but sometimes you get a dry Big Mac, which is not a good sandwich because there's a lot of bread to that sucker. So you really need that special sauce to help out with how much bread there is.
Sauce is such a good point, because that you can go that way, but you can also go the way with the person that puts too much sauce on there.
Oh, yeah.
And now you've got like your hands are covered in sauce and it just like the flavors aren't combining right because it's just overpowered. That's such a good point.
I did see a person get a sandwich at Jersey Mike's that I like kept looking at them just to see how they were feeling about the sauce proportions.
Extra juice?
Yeah, because I was like, man, that feels like too much. Like, even I'm saying if you like it, I was like, well, that felt like too much they just put on. So I'm just kind of looking at that guy.
I will tell you, I do not mind too much Jersey Mike juice. Now, I get it, because if you travel with that sandwich for, let's say, an hour before you get somewhere.
Sog up.
Yeah, the bread. But if you're eating that sandwich within 10 minutes, I don't mind the extra oil and vinegar. I do like the juice.
Okay, interesting point. I like, somebody jumped in on Freebirds. You either get that two-person feast or war rations. Man, that is, the way they frame that, I...
Do you think that has to do with the boss who taught them or the person who taught them? Like, they're like, no more than this. Because
that is absolutely what I think,
it has to be the person who trained them who said, if you give more than this amount of chicken or steak, you will get fired.
Yes, and we're losing money, because I think about that all the time. Let's just use Freebirds or Chipotle as an example. Like, you might have gotten the person who got taught letter of the law, I read the entire handbook, is it levels out at the top of your like ladle or whatever you want to call it, your scooper. It levels out at the top. Like, it needs to be flat, even, that's what you get. And then other people are probably like, I don't know, like whatever's geometrically sound to stay up there while you scoop it all up, just dump that all into the burrito.
And someone did have a good point, like on the burrito places, they said they think the reason that you get less portions in some places is like based on the ability to fold the burrito. Right, because some folks are like, if I put in a lot, I can still get this to the right place. But some folks are like, yeah, I need a little bit more real estate to be able to get this burrito folded up. Otherwise, you're just going to have a tortilla and food on top.
Huh, that is a really interesting way of looking at that. I think again about the sandwich place, and I realize that's the beauty of some sandwich places. You get as much crap on there as you want. Sometimes when they have trouble closing the sandwich, I want to say to that other person, I'm like, did you need all that stuff?
Yeah, now you have an open-faced sandwich. How do you feel?
That's, I guess that is...
This is making me hungry.
I know, right?
Sorry, Mike.
I'm thinking of like, do I want orange chicken with lo mein right now, or do I want the juice?
All right, okay.
I like Jersey Mike's a lot.
Hey, we got people here that can help out with that.
That's fair.
All right.
Really?
Can I ask you something, though? Like, because obviously the burrito place is what we're talking about, but it's become a trend that, like, some people will go and record the Chipotle workers while they're working in order to, like, kind of bully them in a way.
That feels like too much.
Right?
I get you, but that feels like too much. This is interesting. I had not considered this. What if it's a good proportional switch? And this is a great example from the 469. Wingstop, but in the good way, you order 8 and they give you 10. I do feel like Wingstop, they'll just throw some extra in there. And they're like, yeah, this looks like it could be 16. Maybe more. Don't know. Good enough. So I hadn't thought about the good proportional problems where you're like, hey, I got more than I ordered. That is tremendous. From the 817, Mike, I think this kind of speaks to what you and Reggie were saying. Condiments at some places, you either get nothing or a year supply.
I've been to McDonald's and at times I get a McGriddle and I'm like, hey, can I get a syrup? I like dipping it in syrup.
Yeah.
And then someone like, they'll be like, it costs more money.
Yes.
At certain McDonald's. I'm like, for a syrup box, it's What in the world's going on at this McDonald's? But they've been trained like, no, you got to pay another, whatever, 15 or 25
also,
cents.
Also, who did the accounting, right? Because you get the 20-piece nuggets, and they're like, you get three sauces. And I'm like, okay, so is this, did someone do the math that each sauce accounts for what?
Yes.
Six?
I'm interested in those McNuggets scientists that determine that. Or when your transaction's already done, and that's when they tell you it costs extra, you're like, come on. We've wrapped up our business. Like, I don't have an extra quarter or 50 cents.
But then a lot of people do that intentionally to see if they can get it. I'm like, hey, can I get an extra one now that you've closed out my tab here?
Yes, that you make a good point. And then somebody just texted this in. Sorry, I lost the number. I'm in the middle of the woods right now, and you guys are really making me hungry. If you want to follow up, what are you doing in the middle of the woods? Are you lost? Do you need some help? I want to know if we can help.
What if it's Blair Witch?
How many people listening right now have seen the original Blair Witch Project?
There's another one?
There are several of them, oh. Mike. There was a sequel that had nothing to do with the first one. I'm pretty sure they did a remake, or they're working on a remake.
I don't want to watch it ever again. It's scary. You don't know, Blair's a witch.
Uh-huh.
And she ruins a lot of people's lives.
But I will argue only if you watched it in the late 90s, when you thought maybe it really could be those kids that got lost out in the forest and they might really be dead. Once you just realized it was a marketing scheme and all those people were actors, then you were like, oh, okay. Am I blowing your mind with this information, Mike?
Yeah.
Those kids are alive. They're fine.
Really?
Yeah.
But they shot a movie. That's good for them.
Man, I'm concerned that you think all movies are real.
They lost their camcorder.
Mm-hmm.
And then the witch was in the background at the end. It was scary.
Spoiler.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I did see it. Coming up next. Look, I scared the crap out of me at the time. I could see how if you didn't watch it in a theater in 1999, you do not think that movie is good. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Just how high do these two Cowboys offensive linemen rank? Let's do that next right here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
They're at the 3.5. Second down, give Henry. Turning the left side, diving. Touchdown, Titans! Derrick Henry has knotted the count with 1:49 to go.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through the Fan right now. It's time to go around the entire NFL to dip into some gridiron gravy.
Deep.
And we start, let me ask you that question real quick. I know last week especially we did a lot of overreaction and reality. I got another one for you. Overreaction or reality? Derrick Henry will score at least 14 touchdowns this season.
You put that at a high number. I'll go under because of, I think, double digits.
Okay.
But I'll go under if it's that.
You know,
high.
He said six straight seasons of double digit just rushing touchdowns. I realize he doesn't get a ton of receiving touchdowns.
Yeah, he doesn't catch the ball very much.
That
but,
is true.
I'll go under, okay. but somewhere between 10 and 13.
All right. Reggie, do you think under 14?
I do think that's an overreaction.
Okay.
I understand, like, they just lean so heavily on him. And I understand when you get in the goal line, there's not really a better opportunity. But you have a lot of, typically, Baltimore likes having a lot of running options. And supposedly the passing offense is supposed to get more advanced. So, yeah, I think that there's just a lot more places for the touchdowns to go to.
One more overreaction or reality, at least one more for you guys. Overreaction or reality. The Buffalo Bills will finish third in the AFC East. Probably behind the
I have Miami
Dolphins
winning that
Jets.
Division.
Where do you got the Jets?
Hurt.
Fair.
That's what I think, too.
So I'll go second, even though I think Buffalo has to take a major step back because they were a team that actually, I've said this 100 times, but they actually did go all in, and their cap is screwed up, which, hey, they're one of the teams that's why Steven and Jerry say this is why we never really try to win at all, because if you do and you don't, you end up in a Buffalo situation where you have to have a 1 or 2 year kind of situation where you don't have enough players where you feel like you can make the playoffs or make a run.
Could you see them not making the playoffs? Yes. Like at all?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's go from that. Let's talk about one element, at least, of the Cowboys offensive line. I know we need to have a bigger conversation about what to expect and what's realistic expectations from this offensive line, but I thought this was interesting. CBS Sports ranked the top 20 interior linemen in 2024. Now, there's good news and bad news. The bad news is Zach Martin was previously the number one interior lineman in all of the land. He no longer is. However, he is listed as the third best guard by CBS Sports, and Tyler Smith is listed as the fourth best guard. Do you think you could make an argument that the Cowboys have the best pair of guards in all of football?
Based off of that, yeah, yes. I'm going to struggle, to be honest, if you say, hey, who are the top 10 guards sure. in NFL? I'm going to struggle with that list.
Yeah, I got you.
Once you give me the guys, I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, I know who those guys are. They're very good.
Obviously, the Chiefs with Thuney is really good. And then the Browns with Bataño and Wyatt Teller, I think, would make an argument for it. But I think there's a compelling argument to be made about the best guard combo being the Cowboys.
Can I ask you a fact or fiction?
Sure.
And Reggie, you can answer this too.
Thanks.
This is Zach Martin's last year to play NFL football.
I think that's a fact. And I think that is another concerning fact for the Cowboys when it comes to their salary cap.
God, when you said that with so much confidence, because I wanted to say fiction, but I'm trying to ponder, for that's just wishful thinking on my part. He is getting to that place. And I did, you know what the weird thing about it is, what is the saying that if you start talking and contemplating retirement?
If you talk about retired, you're retired.
And he had that statement where it was just like, oh, wow, that's you know, kind of ominous. So, yeah, you might be right, and I don't like it at all.
And we've talked about, you know, how you flip the switches on the contract, push the money down the road. There are voidable years starting in 2026, but even with retirement, you're still looking at a salary cap hit for Zach Martin. We've talked endlessly about the potential salary cap hit if Dak Prescott moves on down the road. So those are concerning issues, putting aside just how good the players are. Like, Dak Prescott's a good player. Zach Martin's a really good player. That aside, you're still going to get a big hit at your salary cap if they walk / retire. This is kind of disappointing to me, but I totally get why he said it. I didn't get a chance to bring this up the other day. Travis Kelce revealed that he had an opportunity to be in the Netflix show Receiver, but then said, I'm way over this reality S. Given the last year of Travis Kelce's existence, I could see how adding another TV show would probably not be super high on his to-do list, considering
They'd love to, because all around the world right now with his girlfriend.
Yes.
Also, don't forget that he did that, dating show back in the day. Dating reality show that he did?
Yeah. No, I don't remember.
So, he has a very unique relationship with reality. And, of course, this would be significantly different, obviously. It wouldn't be nearly as contrived. But, yeah, I'm sure that he's just like, you know what? I did my time with this, and I'm going to be out on this. I do wonder how much he was also involved with the quarterback situation and, seeing the toll that took. And I wonder if he was just like, yeah, I'm good on it that way.
It was called, I swear I don't remember this, it was called Catching Kelce.
Uh-huh.
In 2016, the show premiered.
I think they asked him a Taylor Swift question on there.
Oh. They said it was 50 women from 50 different states. So
that's a weird thing that you needed to put in there.
I just saw that.
No, not for you. I'm just saying, for the show. Like, why did you have to do it that way in particular?
I don't know. But yes, okay. Well, that makes all the more sense in the world to me. All right. Jaden Daniels. I know he's not the favorite, but overreaction or reality, as we kind of mix up these segments, Jaden Daniels will win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Obviously, Caleb Williams is a pretty heavy favorite, but you're not necessarily, not that you think he's going to fail, but you're maybe not necessarily a humongous Caleb Williams believer.
I'm worried about his sensitivity to adversity.
Okay. I think that's fair.
And so I look at Jaden Daniels, and I think Washington doesn't have a bad team. Maybe I'm totally wrong. Here's the other thing, too. I think that they got a good coach. And everybody would have agreed with me at this time last year. Oh, my God, we can't lose him. He's going to be the end of the world. And then as soon as he lost the playoff game, you're like, thank God, he was the worst coach ever. And I'm like, Cowboy fans, he's a good coach. Mike McCarthy's a good coach. They're not the best. But I do think that Washington has a lot of things going for him. They lost the crazy owner who was horrible at owning and running a franchise. I do think that Jaden Daniels will win Rookie of the Year.
Okay. Reggie, fair or overreaction?
I think it's an overreaction. I really like him as a player, and I do agree, Mike, that they've put together a decent team. One of the questions that I have is Cliff Kingsbury as offensive coordinator. Because I don't know if you can utilize this as, I mean, he was a play caller while also the head coach. That comes with a lot of responsibility. But one of the things that felt like it was a staple of his time in Arizona was they started the first half a year and they looked like an incredible offense and it kind of just fell off of a table. And if that trend continues, like, you know, we understand the narrative factors that are involved with these types of awards. What happens if you have a lackluster back half of the season with this type of award? I think that would make it tough on them.
And then the last thing I got for you.
Do you have a person who you think's going to win it?
I mean.
Yeah, that's a good question. Don't say Drake May or else he'll get mad.
That's impossible.
I think that
impossible.
He might win NBA Rookie of the Year.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like it's between Caleb or MHJ there in Arizona.
I could see that. That might be who I would.
If Kyler Murray stays healthy, I think he could be like a 1,200-yard, 10-touchdown guy his rookie year.
And that'll win him the award, I would imagine. By the way, last thing for you, NFL veteran safety Tashawn Gibson has been suspended for PED use. Obviously, never a good time for this, but he's a free agent after being with the 49ers the last 2 years. So you're a free agent. And you can't play the first six games. Probably not a good equation to getting signed straight away. With a KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Got Bruce Bochy coming up at about 12:20. But coming up next, what else do you want the Mavs to accomplish this offseason? And what can they still do based on their assets? Doing that next right here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.